Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcast 140. We're joined by always by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Doug. How you doing?
And we have a special guest today. He's a local sports hero of ours, our local fisherman, Mike Iaconelli. He's the 2014 Bass Elite Champion on the Delaware River, which that was awesome for all of us around here in the Philadelphia area. 2003 Bassmaster Classic winner and 2006 Angler of the Year. How you doing, Mike? Pull up a stool.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. We're doing very well. We're glad to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're the little Disney podcast that could.
I can relate to that. We've got a little podcast, too.
Yes, we love your show. Ike Live is very good. Me and Dennis started listening to it. It's addicting.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, we wanted to talk to you a little bit, Mike. You have this foundation going. It's called the Ike Foundation. Do you want to explain to us how everything works?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting for us. The Ike Foundation is it's basically give you the mission statement. It's an organization that was started to get more kids fishing, to get more kids in the outdoors. That was a big goal for us for a lot of years, and things finally came together where we're able to get this nonprofit off the ground. It's real simple. What we're doing is we're trying to get equipment, especially fishing rods and reels, into the hands of kids, especially the ones who've never fished. Depending on what part of the country you're at, Doug, it's, in the South, I think a lot of kids are brought up in that environment, where hunting and fishing is a part of their life. But in a lot of areas like where we grew up here in the Northeast, cities, different parts of the country, a lot of times fishing is not a part of that equation for kids. And so we started this thing just to get equipment in the hands of kids. That's the bottom line. And it's exciting, whether the kid, is going to become a professional angler, or whether he just it becomes a hobby, or whether he never ever fishes again, the chance for a kid to go fishing and spend some time in the outdoors, it's a really good thing, and it teaches a lot of life lessons. So we're very excited. If anybody wants to check it out or help out, they can go to mikeiaconelli.com/Ike Foundation. Get a little information on what it's all about, and if they want to help, that'd be great.
Yeah, we're going to post all that stuff on our site this week for you, so everybody has it, and they can link right to your website. And the thing I like about that, Ike, is that when I was a kid, we grew up hunting and fishing. This area was a little bit rural in Sicklerville. Now it's, like, so built up, it's ridiculous. Like, half the kids don't even know about it. But the memories that I have is spending the time and the peace and quiet with my father or my brother. You're not afraid to ask questions, and things come natural, and you'll go out on the boat, or it's alone time where you can – it slows life down a little bit for everybody.
It does, and that's a great thing. It's not necessarily just about the fishing. The fishing part of it's fun. It's exciting for sure, but all the other things. And, you mentioned time with your dad, time with your uncle, time with your friends, learning aspects like patience. All those things, like more life lessons.
For me and you, we both have the gift of gab, but the sitting in silence sometimes with a family member, it's hard to explain, but there's a certain feeling to that it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And I've spoken to so many people in the last 15, 16 years that some of their best memories of their life happened when fishing, whether it's spending time with a family or something that happened, those classic moments in life that, were spent fishing. That's an amazing thing. And that's, you know, we just want, you know, our goal, you know, we got this grand vision where this foundation can grow. But in all honesty, you know, if we can get a couple more kids a year fishing, or at least to try it, that wouldn't have, then we've accomplished our goal.
Absolutely. You get some of the inner city kids and stuff like that to learn something they never done before and get some doing something positive instead of getting themselves into trouble.
Absolutely. It's a good thing.
So, and now we heard you did this is a Disney podcast, so we want to get into a little Disney fishing, because that's what we want to know. All I've ever done down there, Mike, I don't know if you have it, at Old Man's Island over at Riverside, I did a little fly fishing. My dad and me with the old-fashioned fly reels.
Yeah.
And that was a good time. It's very, very frustrating, though, when you're used to using deep sea pole or a regular conventional reel, and then you're going out fly fishing with just a regular stick with it on the end. Have you ever done that?
I have. I've actually dabbled in every kind of fishing you can imagine, with the exception of noodling. I haven't stuck my hand in a hole yet for a big catfish. Everything else I've tried. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what noodling is, man.
Yeah, I don't think I'm not going to stick my hand in a hole. I don't know what's in that thing. I'm going to stay away from that. Anything with a rod and a reel above the surface, I'm going to try.
Yes. As soon as you say noodling, I know there's trouble ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
So where did you – World Showcase Lagoon, how was that? Was the fishing good out there?
Fishing's amazing. You know, I think that's one of the really hidden parts of Disney. You know, Disney is an amazing place. I've had an opportunity to go there probably, gosh, I bet you I've been there 15 or 20 times since I was a kid, since high school. And
okay.
It's a magical place. You guys talk about all that stuff, I'm sure, on every podcast. But the fishing part of it, I think, really gets lost. And you know, a little backstory on it is, you know, ESPN owned one of the major organizations we fish, which is BASS. And there, obviously, there's a big tie there between ESPN and Disney. And in those years that Bass ESPN owned the organization, we really had a chance to get in there and experiment with the fishing. And it's amazing. I can tell you that all the lakes on the Disney properties, every one I've ever been to, is what I would call world class. You know, and that's not an exaggeration. You know, I mean, sheer numbers of fish, the ease at how you can catch them, and also the size. You know, Florida is a southern state. The growing season's huge, and the fishing pressure there is very limited compared to a normal public fishery. So it's amazing. And here's the great thing. Anybody can participate in that. I mean, that's actually, you know, I'm sure if you go to the Disney website and you look it up, they offer those guided trips, and it's amazing. So, you know, if you're with your wife, your girlfriend, and you love the fish, it'd be something to do. If you're with your kids, what a great experience. What a great thing to throw in there and mix it up between the parks.
Yeah, the last time your buddy Brian was down there, we were trying to finagle away because it was his first time with his family.
Yeah,
he was trying to get me to finagle away for him to get out on the water, but it never happened for him.
Yeah, it's really special. And, you know, I can tell you a couple of my trips there really stand out. The one to the lake there in Epcot was a memorable one from the standpoint of the big fish I caught. But probably my best memory is I had my girls there, my two oldest girls now, Drew and Riley, when they were – I want to say they were, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, in that range. On one of the guided trips that Disney provides on a pontoon boat, very, you know, easy, you know, it didn't have to bring tackle. And it was a shiner trip. They actually provide live shiners for you. And, you know, for kids, man, what a great thing. You know, you cast this shiner out in the bobber, you see the bobber go down, you set the hook, and it was a nonstop day. You know, I'm going to say 2 or 3 hours of those girls catching fish. And Riley, actually, at that point, I think she was 4 or 5, caught one about 4 or 5 pounds, which is a giant for a little kid.
Absolutely.
That's an amazing thing.
She probably felt good too. She beat her little sister in something. I mean, her
right.
older
that's
sister
right.
in something.
Oh yeah. They're always fighting. So, you know, that was the start of it, but it's great. Like I said, it's all right there. You know, you've got the Disney setting all around you, you know, you can see the Magic Kingdom in the back, you know, it's just a special place. you know, any of you guys that are listening that are Disney heads and love going down there and want to try something different, man, give it a try because it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, other thing is they also have the Sammy Duvall where you can rent. They even have bass boats. There's even you can go out with.
Oh yeah.
They have all different shapes and sizes of boats that you guys can go out in to do.
They do
all the fishing there.
They do a lot of different levels. I mean, I think they're set up for, like I said, the guy that's by himself that wants to, you know, his wife shopping and he wants to get away for a couple hours. They've got something for that guy. You know, for the family that has three or four kids, I think they've got pontoon boats and they've got something for that family. So it's pretty awesome. I can tell you that we've got a trip planned this fall. Actually, my father-in-law bought the whole family. He retired last year. So part of his Christmas gift to us was this Disney trip, and we've got a trip planned, and now the family's giant, you know. So we've got four kids now, and my wife's brother has three kids on their side. So we plan on incorporating a fishing trip this fall to Disney, so it's going to be awesome.
Now, do you guys know about my Disney experience and the Magic Bands and all that stuff, Mike?
No, I'd like to know about that, though.
Well, if you need help with the trip, dining plans, all that, me and Dennis here, we know almost every single restaurant on property. We can help you with dining plans, fast passes. I could, if you want to talk off the air with that, I could help you with all your trip stuff.
That's awesome. I'd love to talk to you about it. Yeah, that's the more things I think that we have figured out before we get there, the better.
Absolutely.
So, Mike, I have a question for you. Now, you said you were down there like five times when you actually fished. Now, did you bring your own boat and your own stuff, or did you exclusively use Disney stuff when you were down there?
Basically, exclusively their stuff. I think on four of the five trips, I had zero. I had nothing. I had not a rod, a reel. You know, nothing at all. And everything was provided, which is amazing. On the one trip, you know, we actually did, and this is the one for me that's memorable also, is the trip I did to the Epcot Lake. And that one is a little bit different in that you can only fish in that particular lake before the park opens.
So
it's great. You have a little bit more limited window of time. I think we ended up having maybe 2 hours, a little more than 2 hours to fish in there. On that trip, I actually had some gear. I had driven down there straight from the Bassmaster Classic. It was 2008, and I had an opportunity to fish with a writer for the Miami Herald, outdoor writer there. And we had an amazing – I mean, like I said, I can close my eyes and visualize that trip. You know, I had actually caught eight fish over eight pounds in that short little window. And
wow.
I mean, that's unheard of. You know, in the fishing world for freshwater bass.
You'd win a couple of fishing trips on that little excursion, wouldn't you?
Oh, my gosh.
A couple of championships.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a very special place. And we got some great coverage for Disney and the Miami Herald got some great photos. And it was just one of those trips that you'll remember forever.
So I have a question here. So will you say it's obviously because the general public just can't go in there and they only have limited fishing excursions. Natural predators for the fish? I mean, is that why they get so big? Because they're just pretty much everybody leaves them alone?
That's a big reason. Yeah, I think, you know, pressure is something that affects the fishing. It affects the way they bite for sure. So you take – you know, that lake or any of the Disney lakes where normal fishing pressure is not there. You know, it's not, you know, dudes from all over the country driving down to launch their bass boat. You know, these are pretty well-maintained fisheries, and that pressure is not there. You know, the other thing is just the growing season. You know, up here in New Jersey, gosh, we're frozen from, you know, November to March.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I know. We're kind of froze out. And you know, that growing season shorter, but in Florida, you know, gosh, those fish grow and eat and grow and eat, and they do that all year long. So they have that really, you know, warm, temperate weather, and those fish can get big and they can get big quick. And that's, you know, that's Florida fishing. And you marry that with the fact that it's on the Disney property and you have something really special.
Plus, you know, the waters are maintained better than probably anywhere in the world.
They are. And you know, they're pristine. That's the other part of it. You know, they want those fisheries to look beautiful. They want them to be healthy. I'm sure they have managers there that, monitor the water quality and the forage and all that stuff. And just beautiful, just like a really special one of a kind thing.
Now, how did they sneak you into World Showcase Lagoon? Where did you come in? Now, this is where we geek out. Did you happen to get back to where the barges and all are for the fireworks? Did they bring you in there?
Well, we came in through the regular canal there. You know, all the lakes are interconnected, and you guys probably have a better understanding, knowledge of how that happens. But, you know, we launched right where you would for all your guide trips, which is the Big Lake, the big marina dock there at the Big Lake. Mm-hmm. I guess the one right near the Contemporary.
Yeah, correct. Crescent Lake over there by the Magic Kingdom.
That's right. We launch there, and that's where all the guide trips will go out of that particular dock. And then through those system of interconnected canals, you can get to, you know, I think 90% of the lakes on the Disney property. So that was neat in itself. You know, we were actually in a bass boat in that one. We were in a Bass Tracker. And, you know, through idling and going through these canal systems, we ended up in the Epcot Lake. And so just getting there was really cool. But I thought the neat thing, too, was the guide had a good sense of humor because we would catch a big one. I'd put it in the boat, hold it up. We'd take a couple pictures. We'd release it. Of course, all this fishing on the Disney properties are all catch and release. So, you know, you get to catch this fish again. It swam away. And the guide said to me, he goes, okay, now – let's go to a different country and catch one. So, you know, we'd catch an 8-pound and 8-pounder in Germany. He'd say, "Oh, let's go catch an 8-pounder in Japan." And we'd cross the lake and fish on that side and in front of Japan around the seawalls and docks and catch a big one over there. And then we'd go to a different country. It really cool experience. But again, you know, once that park opens, I mean, I can remember him looking at his watch and you know, it hit, let's say 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. I can't remember the time. And, you know, as soon as it hit 9 o'clock, it said, okay, we're done. And we filtered on out of there. But it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, because that's where we geek out. Like, when we take the boat rides and you come around the backside of the Contemporary or something like that, and you get to see something that normally you don't get to see is the most exciting part to us.
Yeah, it's cool. It was a neat experience from a lot of levels.
Mike, now, let me ask you. Sorry, Doug.
Okay.
Let me ask you this: do you have an alligator story for us on Disney property? Run into any, see any, or any experiences whatsoever?
I've got a lot of alligator stories. Believe it or not, I've hooked some alligators. They've actually taken the bait. Not at the Disney properties, but I do have an interesting story for you, real quick. And this goes back to it's amazing. This goes back to my first Disney trip ever, which was high school, and it was our senior trip. I went to Triton Regional High School, graduated in 1990, and, man, I was excited because as a kid, you know, we never had the resources to go to Disney. This is my first trip to Disney. I'm a senior in high school. I'm pumped up. It's, for me, it's all about the rides. It's all about the camaraderie of my classmates. I'm graduating this year. All those things are going through my head, and we got to Disney. We landed. And we're on the monorail, the train looking thing, and I can't remember what we were doing. We're going from maybe like one park to the other, or a restaurant to the park. And as I'm on this monorail and I'm looking down, and we're going over all these canals. Now, keep in mind, this was like March or April. It was, you know, it was that spring break kind of trip time for seniors. And as I'm going across this monorail, I'm looking down at these canals. I'm looking down at all these giant bass spawning. I can see them, even though I'm like 20 foot up. I'm looking down his window, and I'm like, let me out of here. You know, I'm like, pull this train over, man.
You're on the monorail, Beam, wanting to jump in and do some fishing.
Yeah, I was stoked. I was looking down at those things spawning, and I wanted a piece of the action. But but no alligator experiences, but that was a good one.
So, what's your favorite park, Mike, to get into some of the resorts? What's your favorite park to be with the kids?
You know, I got to say the big one. You know, the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom for sure. I think if you've got little ones, and my, you know, we've still got two little ones. We've got a really good spread. We've got a 14 and a 16, and they're the little ones I talked about earlier that were just babies back then, and now we have a 2 and a 4. And I think that's still, for me, is the most special one for me. You know, that's one of the ones on that trip as a senior. I had a blast there at 18. I'm going to be 44 this year, and I'm still having a blast at that same park.
Yeah. It brings out the kid in you, and it makes you feel – it's hard to explain. You feel safe when you're there. All the worries go away.
Absolutely. It's a really special place. Like I said, you take away the fishing. The fishing makes it more special for me, but you take that away and it's still a very special place.
Absolutely. It's the point of it's nice when you go back all these years later and everything's the same way it was when you were there as a kid.
That's right. That's right. It's a really cool place. And like I said, we get there now, maybe once every 2 or 3 years, we get to take a trip. And, you know, it's definitely a highlight of the year for sure.
What resorts have you stayed at?
Man, I've had an opportunity to stay at a lot, which is really cool. You know, again, getting back to when Bass was owned by ESPN, a lot of the hospitality events we had there, they'd put us in different resorts, it seemed, every year to kind of really let us sample them. So I've been at the Boardwalk a few times, which is amazing. I've been at the Wilderness Lodge, which was really cool. I actually was there a few times with the kids and loved it. So I've had a chance to sample some of them. And it's a neat place. And even in the lodging, it takes you away a little bit. You know, you get to a place when you're on the property and just staying there, you feel like you're safe and in a different world. And that's a cool thing.
It's crazy how, don't you wish our boardwalk was as nice as theirs?
I do. Yeah. ours were walking over syringes and trash. So I wish ours looked like that.
Exactly. And you're afraid that, you know, you go walking down there with your wife. We're both grown men and you're looking over your shoulder all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's not a good feeling.
No, you're sneaking from one casino to the next to make it from the show to you just seen to get back to your hotel safe.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about that down there at all.
Mike, I have a question for you. You said you've been down there quite a few times. Have you had any experiences at the Animal Kingdom? I know that's the newer park, but have you fished there, or do they allow fishing there, anything at all?
You know what? Have not. I have not. It's interesting. Of all the years I've been there, including the senior trip, I have not been to the Animal Kingdom one time.
Mike. So you got to go there. Shame
I know. Well, that's another – and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another one of those things where you know, you talked about a little bit earlier about like geeking out. Well, I think for a guy like me that's only been there, you know, 10 or 15 times, and still there are things that I haven't seen. That's an amazing thing, right? I mean, how cool is that? So, you know, that's something I need to put on my hit list. Besides that fishing trip, I think the Animal Kingdom's something I want to experience.
Well, and that's right up the Ike Foundation kind of guidelines at the Animal Kingdom. They have wilderness explorers. They teach you how to – there's camps in there, Mike, that have veterinarian stations that teaches you how to treat the animals, take care of animals, wow. Talks to you about conservation. I mean, they have the different areas where you can take your kids around, and Dennis will tell you about it, where they get badges and stuff.
That sounds really cool. That sounds awesome.
So you'd really get into that. I mean, and you name it. You go on that Kilimanjaro safari, Mike, you feel like you're in Africa.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That sounds like a cool trip.
And you'll see alligators.
Yeah. Let's see. Another question I have for you, Mike. You said you fish World Showcase Lagoon, which is the body of water in Epcot. I'm just curious. Have you seen Illuminations, the nighttime fireworks spectacular there?
I have.
Okay.
Sure have.
So
yeah.
I'm assuming there's all kinds of piping and stuff under the water and stuff. Any issues getting snagged up when you were fishing or anything like that?
No. And in fact, to the contrary, you know, a lot of that stuff, a lot of the man-made structures that, mm-hmm. that are in that lake, not only for the firework displays, but for the barges, the boats to tie up, all the piers, the seawalls, that's really the primary form of cover that the fish live on. It's interesting, you know. A lot of those exact pipes you're talking about, the platforms and
right.
the supports, they're what held the big fish. It's interesting, you know. A bass is it's a creature that likes to have cover around it. Yeah, it loves cover. You know, it likes to be in a weed bed. It likes to be next to a pier. It likes to be underneath of a dock. And that shade and that protection is what that fish uses to feed. It uses it as an ambush point. So, you know, all that stuff was actually primary targets for us when we were out there fishing. So it's pretty interesting that you said that. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, did you get to see all the barges and stuff when you went by there?
Well, a little bit. We saw some of that, and again, you know, we've been there. My wife and I have been there a few times too, just ourselves without the kids, where we've got to see them you know, working to set that up and get that display going and the fireworks going. So I've seen a little bit of that, but it's gosh, that's a neat place, man.
Yeah, see, I'm the geek. When they come in, they have the bridge at the back by right there by China that opens up.
Yeah.
And all the barges every night float in, or every afternoon float in there. And my wife gets mad at me because if we're at World Showcase Lagoon and she turns around and she's looking for her child, he's over there on the bridge looking down to try to see what all these barges have on.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I can relate to that because that's me when I'm walking around and, you know, I told that story when I was in high school looking at the beds. I still do that now too. I'm always walking around looking at the water trying to find a fish. So I can relate to that.
Well, absolutely. We were down there a couple times ago and we were actually talking to the guys that actually – that clean lagoon. I mean, they literally go around that entire World Showcase and scrub everything every week.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It's amazing what they do. Now, you said you've been down there with you and your wife. Any favorite restaurants down there that you like?
Oh boy, we've ate, I think, at a few of the resorts, a few of the places we've stayed, right at the particular lodges. I want to say there's, and you guys will know it right off the top of your head, there is a restaurant at the Contemporary that we've had dinner at a few times that was amazing.
Go ahead, Dan. It's your favorite restaurant.
California Grill.
That's it. Amazing.
Yeah, up on the top floor, right?
On the top floor. That's it. Amazing. I've had some of the best meals ever at that particular restaurant. Again, another big reason, man. You go to Disney, it's not just it's an all around experience. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we love. That's what we love, the food, the atmosphere in all these restaurants. They're top of the line for around the world, not just Disney World. I mean, and the service that you get is incredible.
It is.
Did you get a chance to eat at the Flying Fish Cafe over at the Boardwalk?
We've ate at the Boardwalk a few times. I'm trying to think. It's not ringing a bell off the top of my head, but there's a possibility.
Fish in it, I think you'd remember it if you ate there.
I don't think we did. But, you know, the Boardwalk, I've actually had a chance to do a few media events at the – what is it? The ESPN has something over there.
The ESPN Club.
Yeah, I've had a really – it was neat. I've had a couple chances to do some presentations over there. And that's a really cool place too.
That place freaked me out the first time I went into it. It was the first time I ever seen a TV in a bathroom. I mean, I'm walking in and I'm running in from eating chicken wings. I look up, there's a TV in the bathroom. Like, what's going on here? A little too much.
that's crazy.
So, speaking of Disney, also you did the did you get to be the you did you got to present a trophy to the Atlanta Braves down there years ago?
I did. Yeah, it's down at spring training. I got to throw a pitch out down there and do a presentation. And the year that I won the Classic, and this is another one of the memories that's really special for me. And it's great now because even for the young kids, I get to show them the pictures and they can kind of make the connection when we walk around. But the year that I won the Classic, which was going all the way back, believe it or not, to 2003, I was in the parade that goes through the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was awesome. I was part of the parade and, you know, up on a float, just kind of, you know, waving around. And
you were the homecoming queen, Mike.
I felt like a homecoming queen. Yeah, in fact, they taught me, you know, you can't just do like a jersey wave. A jersey wave is more like, yo, you know
what
I mean? So I had to kind of do that little side to side, little left to right movement of my hand. But, you know, hey, again, that was, you know, man, what an amazing opportunity to be a part of a parade like that and to be a part of the history of Disney. You know, that was a really cool thing.
Yeah, who'd have thought a guy from Pittsgrove that likes to fish is going to be up on a Disney parade one day, right?
I would have never imagined that in a million years.
Mike, a question I have for you. Do you golf at all, and have you experienced any of the championship courses down there?
Yeah, I golf very little. I golf very little, and I have
golfs to get to the lakes that are on the golf course.
That's right. Yeah, in my bag of clubs is actually a flipping stick, and I run out and do some fishing. No, I mean I golf a little bit. I can tell you, you know, I try to golf. I I look at anybody who's good at golfing, and I'm very envious because it's a very difficult sport. You know, people think fishing's difficult. What I do is difficult. It's not half as difficult as guys that are good at golfing. So I haven't experienced that. I do golf a little bit, but I want to get better at golf. That's something I want to get better at.
We got to get out on the course sometime, Mike, because I put it on hold the last year. I have a bunch of things going on. I miss it. Because I was in the low 80s when I stopped playing, and I would like to get back into it again.
Yeah. I have to remember that it's a golf club and not a hockey stick. Because I just want to slap shot it. You know, I'm like Happy Gilmore, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like everything else in life. You got to find the time to do it. That's the hard thing.
That's right.
Got to put time into it. And I'm so darn competitive. When I started losing the time and you start not doing as well as you did last time, then it starts becoming – it's supposed to be fun. And you got to turn it back into fun again instead of – I started playing to the point where – I wanted to break 70s, you know what I'm saying? And it got to be too serious. It's like, dude, you play once a week. Stop it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
But I played down there. We did get to see on Lake Buena Vista golf course, we seen two big alligators sunning there. And my buddy, the lawyer that I was playing with that day, he shanked, duck dived the ball over there, and I kept daring him. I'm like, I got a 20 in my pocket. You go get that ball.
Oh my gosh.
And he was from New England, Dennis. That's probably why I was trying to get him to go over there.
So you were trying to feed him to the alligators, right?
Exactly. But I'm like, man, go get your ball. It's going to cost you a stroke. He's like, you're going to cost me a stroke? I'm like, go get your ball.
Oh my gosh.
We didn't hold him to it. So how long, when exactly are you guys going back down there, Mike?
So we're gone. We've got a trip scheduled right before the kids go back to school. So it's like that first week of September. Which is a time of the year that I haven't been there very often. I think every time I've been there has been in that January to March, April time frame or the summertime. I've been there a handful of times in that July, August time frame. So it'll be a time of the year, September, you know, that I had not been there yet.
You're going to love it. I've been down there probably half of my trips are close to it in the fall time.
Gotcha.
And what's nice is most of the kids, all the southern kids are already back in school.
Right. That's
so
right.
So freeze it up a little bit. Did you guys – you're staying on property?
We are staying on property. Yeah, we're staying at and again, my father-in-law set all this up, but they've got apparently these kind of like more condo townhouse.
DVC. Disney Vacation Club.
Absolutely. And it's right.
It sounds like you might be over at Saratoga Springs, maybe. Or...
I think we're near the Contemporary somewhere. We're somewhere where these townhouse condos are at, and we're actually
Bay Lake Tower.
That's where we're at. Yep.
Yeah,
that's
Bay Lake Tower.
Where it's at. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, with a big group like that, because again, it's going to be, you know, we're talking about seven kids, and lots of couples between Becky and I and Josh and his wife. And my mother and father-in-law, it's going to be a pretty big group. And we've got these things set up so they're interconnecting, so we're able to open up the doors between the units. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, you know, a nice little vacation. And for my father-in-law especially, it's great. You know, it's great for him. He's in his late 60s. He's retired now. I mean, this is something he's spent his whole life building up to, this experience like this. And that means a lot, you know.
Well, you guys should get a – you should get the photo package for him, Mike.
We'll do that.
And what's good about that is because usually there's always one person left out, and if you get the My Disney Experience with the photo package, you can ask any of the rides that you guys are on, you automatically get the pictures. Any time that you see a cast member with a camera, they'll just take your pictures. Any time you want your picture taken, and with a big group like that, it's worth the extra $170 because – it all gets downloaded, and you got all the pictures when you come home.
Wow, that's a great tip. I'm gonna make sure we do that. Yeah, that's that's great because it preserves that memory. You know, like you can remember stuff, but it's nice when you actually have a physical image to remember what happened. You know,
exactly, yeah. And you can share it with the whole family. Everybody can get on with that code, and the whole family will have access to all the photos. Then you could also put borders and different things on them when you get home. It's a really good thing. And again, like your father-in-law or you or whoever's carrying the camera won't be left out all the time.
Right. Great. That's awesome. Great. Great, it's actually tip.
Yeah, Mike, it's actually called Memory Maker is the name of the product, like Doug said, and definitely worth it. And even if your group splits up, like if you during the day, maybe, you know, two or three or four of you go in a different direction, you'll all have the Magic Mands that Doug mentioned. And all you got to do is basically swipe your Magic Mand over the little scanner that the Disney photographers have all over property, and all those pictures will link up when you get back home. You just share a common password, and you'll all be able to view the pictures and download and print whatever you want.
Wow, that's awesome.
The cool thing is say your daughters are on Splash Mountain, and, you know, because they're teenagers now, your older daughters, say their kids are on Splash Mountain or whatever. They'll get their picture taken automatically on there, and then this way you'll be able to experience some of the things they did when they weren't with you. If you guys separate and stuff like that, all the memories will come together at the end of the trip.
That's awesome. That makes so much sense, because you're not going to be able to be there for every single moment, but this makes it a lot easier to see those things. That's great.
Yeah, and it's something if you buy it before, you save yourself some bucks, too.
Yeah,
you got to buy it like 10 days prior to going on vacation. If not, it's $199.
Gotcha.
But it's worth every penny.
Sounds like it.
So
that's awesome.
It's cool that you're looking forward. I'm excited to hear about your trip when you get back. I mean, and I'd be glad. Me and Dennis are here. We'd be glad to help you with anything. We get geeked out about that. Your dining reservations, Mike, 180 days in advance. And with a group that big, I highly suggest that you make dining reservations.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a great idea. And I definitely am going to talk to you guys before. I'd love to carve out some time and just chat with you about some of this stuff. And you know what? I'd love to come back on this podcast, Doug, after I go. It'd be great. I'll have some good fishing stories for you.
And we'd love to do a trip report on everything you guys did down there on your trip.
That'd be great. I'd love to do that.
So we won't keep you much longer, Mike. I know you're a very, very busy fisherman at this time of the year. You got a million things to do. Am I correct?
It's a busy time. I mean, this is basically right at the head of our entire season. And in the bass fishing world, we start out the year with our championship, a little bit like NASCAR. So we've got the big event called the Bassmaster Classic, and that's coming up here in 2 weeks. And right after that, starting in early March, is the regular season. So, you know, it's that time of the year where you're trying to do a little bit of everything. You're trying to get packed. All your equipment's got to be organized and ready. And, you know, it's actually a lot of work. And you know, when we leave the house here, and that'll be, you know, just in a little bit here for the Classic, the truck and boat, which is my main rig that I operate out of.
Yeah, you got that Toyota loaded up.
Oh, it's loaded. I mean, it won't get back here until June, the actual truck and boat. So, you know, you've got to prepare that thing for, you know, six, seven tournaments. You've got to have everything in there from, you know, clothes to tackle to everything. And it's all got to be packed and organized. It's a lot of work. So that's where we're at, but we're excited. You know, 2015 is going to be a
great year. Mike, where is the Bassmasters Championship this year?
It's at a lake called Lake Hartwell, which is in Greenville, Anderson, South Carolina. So it's right on the border of South Carolina and Georgia. It's right near Clemson University for all you college fans out there.
Well, if any of you guys down in that area to listen to our show and you want to go over, I hear, Mike, you're going to have some drop spots at these tournaments, too. Are you going to have one there for the foundation?
We are. Yeah, if anybody's listening or interested and they're going to be at the Classic, the Classic has an outdoor show, which is really cool. It's a public show. You see all the latest fishing tackle. You get to meet your favorite pros. And at that Classic outdoor show, which is in Greenville, we're going to have at the Yamaha booth, which is front and center at the show floor, we're going to have an Ike Foundation drop box there. And you can't miss it. It's a big, big display. You'll see the Ike Foundation logo on it. And if you have anything that you want to donate, a rod, a reel, a fishing line that you're not using, anything like that, and if you want to help the kids, bring it. You know,
old tackle box,
anything. And again, you know, The thing here is, you know, we just want to get this stuff in the hands of kids. So, you know, if it's 10 years old but it's still in working condition, bring it. If it's 20 years old,
sometimes them old beat up boxes are the coolest, Mike. I have a couple of them metal ones out in the shed. I would fight you over them.
absolutely. But definitely encourage everybody to stop by and visit us. And if you've got something you want to donate, bring it, and we'll gladly accept it.
What's your favorite spot to fish at, Mike? What's one of your favorite areas or you look forward to going to every year?
Yeah, I tell you, you know, Disney is definitely on that top 10 list of favorite places I've ever been. But I can tell you Lake Champlain, up north of us here, up on the Vermont, New York border, always one of my favorites, you know, in the fall and the summer. Love it. I have to put another one, Lake Gunnersville, which is in Alabama. Beautiful fishery, nestled in the mountains. It's another one of my favorites. My third one I'm going to say is Falcon Lake, which is as far south in Texas as you can go. It's more of a desert fishery right on the border of Mexico. A lot of big fish, just a different culture down there. I've got so many, but they're probably my top three.
I would be a little bit worried about the tarantulas and the snakes myself, though.
Yeah, there are some critters down there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'd rather fight a grizzly bear than a little garter snake, man. It's just something about me, man. Them snakes, they just freak me out, man.
Me too.
Look at you fishing. No wonder you don't want to stick your hand in the hole.
I'm staying in the boat, man. I ain't getting out of that boat.
Well, that's a perfect Northeasterner there. We're not getting out of the boat, man. So it's been great, Mike. I really, really appreciate you doing the show. Please, guys, go out and check out Ike's Foundation. Go to Ike Live. Listen to his great podcast. Me and Dennis aren't fish heads, but we enjoy the show.
I appreciate it.
It's like a family atmosphere.
It's fun. It's fun. And I could already tell just it's my first time on your show. But, man, it's, you know, it's nice when you can talk to people and you can have a conversation. And it's like you feel like old friends, and you guys made me feel like friends today, so I really appreciate that.
Well, you are an old friend, Mike. I don't get to see as much as I'd like to, but we're boys, and we got Brian in common, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, yeah. Disaster of a producer and carpenter, but he's a good guy.
But he keeps the show running unsmoothly, just the way you need it, right?
He does. He's really good. We bust the stones a little bit, but he's a really good producer. He does a good job.
Hey, he's like Gary Del Bate of your show.
Yes. Buffa
Fooey. Buffa Fooey. Buffa Fooey. It's been great, Mike, and we look forward to doing this again. We want you definitely to come back and do a trip report for us. We'd really enjoy that.
That's great. Well, thanks for having me, guys, and I'm sure I'm going to talk to you guys before my trip, well in advance of my trip, for some tips. So thanks for the time.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, and check out the Ike Foundation. We'll talk to you guys real soon. Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.